Welcome to Personal Growth Lifestyle, real talk, real results. I'm your host, Lisa Latimer, and I'm bringing you personal development with personality. Welcome to Personal Growth Lifestyle, real talk, real results. I'm your host, Lisa Latimer, battle-tested empath, author, and self-awareness facilitator. So what do we all have that Steve Jobs once referred to as more powerful than intellect? So powerful, in fact, that our military is even investigating it as I speak to you right now. I tend to think of this power as a divine gift that our Creator has blessed every single one of us with as a way of knowing things on a sort of metaphysical level, before we know it on an objective level. What is this superhero, spidey senses, almost superhuman superpower that I'm speaking of? It's your intuition. So on today's episode, we're going to talk a bit about intuition, specifically how to strengthen and connect to your intuition. Once upon a time, I was 16. This is like a long, long ago, once upon a time. And I was in my first relationship. It was me and my high school boyfriend, and we were together for 11 very long years. It was a lot like kind of the way a lot of marriages end up, unfortunately, which it just became loveless, sexless, emotionally barren train wreck. But I was experiencing this as a child, and so was he. He came into my life at the height of my parents' own marriage drama. And, you know, being the naive, idealistic, as we all kind of are at that age, and completely clueless kid that I was, I found jumping up my boyfriend's ass to the point that he became my identity a welcome retreat from a lot of things that were just going on that I didn't want to deal with or didn't know how to deal with. So at the, I'd say, closer to the 10th year of that toxic relationship, narcissist abuse complete with lying, cheating, stealing, you know, verbal, emotional, and sometimes physical abuse, I went snooping. And just to let you know, this was a regular habit that fed this vicious, disgusting cycle of me catching him cheating, him being on his best behavior, and then that slow downward spiral that led to the next big blow up. Now understand where I was at this point. We were living together, and I saw myself through his eyes, which left me with absolutely no self-esteem and no self-awareness. And if you're someone that's ever been in an abusive relationship, particularly a narcissist abuse relationship, you understand that your abuser is carefully crafting the narrative about who you are, about what you're capable of or not capable of. And they're feeding this character to you on purpose to keep you feeling powerless and to keep you easy to manipulate. So that's where I was, and I was at this point at a very young age. So during this one particular snooping session, I actually found something that was more disturbing than the normal inappropriate message or phone number that I would normally find. I found a receipt. A receipt for an engagement ring that was meant to be for me, because I had gotten questions about this on the Quora platform. Like, if he was that big of a cheater, how do you know the ring was for you? It was for me. So now this guy that I had loved and invested my time, faith, money, emotions, everything into, with the hopes that he would eventually consider me worthy of marrying, finally planned on putting a ring on it. All of my tooth pulling over the years, fighting to be heard and respected, which, P.S., I never was. I never was heard, and I never was expected. And obviously, I had a completely twisted idea about how relationships are supposed to go. But I was finally getting what I wanted and what everyone who looked at us like this perfectly matched couple, knew that I deserved. But when I tell you that when I found that receipt, my stomach dropped into my feet so fast, it's not even an exaggeration. So this wasn't the first time that my intuition kicked in about him and about the fate of our relationship. The truth of the matter is, I had had years worth of dreams of him cheating, but always ignored them. This, though, this was different. This was next level shit. As if God and the universe were making sure that from the deepest pit of my being, I couldn't ignore or make excuses for the fact that this was just wrong. That undeniable intuition that said, this will never get better, Lisa. This is never going to get better. This is not for you. I believe that it was the intuition that I had in that moment that saved my mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. And of course, I've since become more in tune with my intuition and reactive to the messages that it sends me. So that's why I felt it's so important to touch on the subject of intuition, because it's not like it's something that just some of us have and some of us don't. It's something that we're all equipped with. And some of us are just better at tuning into it and more trusting of it than others. But it's an undeniable gift, and it's a powerful one. And I want everyone to start tapping into it. So if intuition can bring such life-changing results, like causing you to finally, after 11 years, walk away from a horrible situation rather than continue, you know, wasting more time making the mistake, then why do we spend so much time and effort denying it? So in my book, I list dealing with the real as one of the essential habits of successful self-aware people. We expect, and this is crazy, get this, we totally expect others to keep it real with us, and yet we have an awful record of keeping it real with ourselves. We can observe a significant other's behavior with someone else, have our body ring every alarm, our gut twisting and contorting itself to get our attention, and still believe that we don't have enough evidence to act on. Well, I tell you right now, you're neither Judge Jeanine, nor are you serving on the jury of a higher court. It is time to cut the shit about anything, any situation in your life that you're not being 100% real with yourself about, and take action. In 11 years with my ex, between dreams, text messages, behavior, and gut feeling, I still felt like I practically needed to catch him in the act to not wrongly accuse him. One of the reasons that I think we fight so hard against our intuition is because it's alerting us to something that needs our immediate attention and action. But our negative self-talk being so prevalent, I believe about 77% of our thoughts are negative. That negative self-talk, we believe that what our intuition is demanding of us is just too hard for us to do. So what do? We go right into self-sabotage mode. Oh, I'm too old to switch careers now. I've invested too much time in this relationship. I can't just walk away now. It's too risky. I can't take that big of a risk. and all the other BS that we say to ourselves. The second reason that I think a lot of us ignore our intuition is because, and this is a hard truth to admit, we're comfortable in our current situations. Our comfort zones are the most suffocating, toxic places that we can be. And the scariest thing to me personally about comfort zones is that our comfort zones depend on the predictability factor. And that's regardless of whether it's predictable that you're getting your ass kicked emotionally and physically on a regular basis, or if it's that you have everyone that's around you putting you on a pedestal and begging for the opportunity to kiss your ass. And let's be honest, we can allow some really unacceptable crap to happen to us on the regular. Predictability is a hell of a drug. Now, the third reason that I think we tend to ignore our gut is all of us to some degree have been conditioned on some level not to fully trust ourselves. We have certainly been led to believe that if you can't explain something, if you can't rationalize something, then it's certainly not reliable. It's certainly not something that you should consider dependable enough to make a decision on, right? We're, you know, our school system teaches us about science and facts and evidence. And if you know anything about intuition, it's just a hunch. It's just a feeling. It's something. Something doesn't feel right. You can't explain it. You can't explain it to someone else. You can't even explain it to yourself necessarily, right? So we shy away from it. And for abuse survivors and narcissist abuse survivors, we really have been conditioned to not trust ourselves by being just, you know, put down, being told that we're nobody, we can't do anything. So we really are conditioned to not trust ourselves. So how do we snap out of this and develop and strengthen our ability to hear and act? Because it's not enough to just hear. I heard my intuition. I heard my gut most of the time over the course of 11 years. So it's not enough to just hear it, but to be able to act on our intuition. How do we do this? So my first tip is number one, switch off the TV and limit your social media. Fewer things lower our ability to practice mindfulness, gain self-awareness, and connect to the things that really, truly bring us joy, like watching TV and overindulging in social media. I would say aim to swap 30 minutes or just one TV show for some sort of meditation practice. It could be where you just kind of get still and you focus on your breathing. It could be getting still and focusing on just a thought, a random thought that pops into your head, reflecting on something that happened to you earlier in the day or in the week. It could be looking out of your window to your yard, picking one area of focus and just letting your mind go. And rather than tuning into manufactured bullshit, tune into the real stuff that's going on inside of you. My second tip for how to tune into your intuition and start learning how to act on it: get nosy. My husband, it's funny, he calls me an ear hustler. We could be out at a restaurant and we'll be talking or we'll be in the middle of eating our food and I will just hone in on a conversation between complete strangers and I'll start like telling him what's going on. I'll give him the deets on it. And so he calls me, he's like, oh, stop ear hustling, would you? So I'm always picking up on other people's combos, but the truth of the matter is that it goes deeper than that. I'm curious about people. I love knowing and trying to get to the meat of what makes a person tick. So, you know, if I go, like, for example, if I go on Instagram, I'll spend a few minutes on whatever the more current posts are on someone's Instagram page. But I'm what they call a lurker in the sense that I'll scroll all the way to the bottom, as far down as the feed will take me, because I want to see where you started. I want to see that the pre-entrepreneurial and pre-physical glow-ups. You know, I want to see where you started. What were you working with? So one of my favorite activities when I lived in Queens was after a run, usually in Astoria Park. I used to run around Astoria Park. After that, I'd sit on a bench with a little cup of coffee and just watch other people exercising and interacting. I'd notice who was really hating, miserable in their exercise, and who was just loving it and challenging themselves, and who was exhausted and still forcing themselves to do that extra lap, you know? Watching kids playing with each other and parents and couples and friends and people walking their dogs, I ate it all up. It's the best reality TV. No scripts, no BS. And I have to tell you, I found it amazing how tapping into the emotions and real-time experiences of others gave me new insight and kind of clarity on my own feelings and my own kind of internal goings on, if you will. The third tip, be present. Stop fiddling with your phone and other distractions. I've totally been there, and I am someone who forever and a day, and still at 41, I still feel so socially awkward. And if I'm sitting at like a Starbucks by myself or something, sometimes I'll get that urge to just pick up my phone and start fiddling. Or if I see someone looking at me, you know, I find it a little weird sometimes to make eye contact. And that's something that I talk about in other blog posts, where it does stem a little bit from the abusive relationships that I was in and being discouraged to make eye contact because, you know, he'd flip out and be like, oh, you're cheating, you're flirting, you're this, you're that. So that's still something that I'm working through, my eye contact. But, you know, sit there and instead of fiddling with your phone, be present. Experience awkward silence if you're with somebody and, you know, you're just kind of sitting there and there's that dead air type of moment, you know. Find your way through it. Navigate it. Give whatever situation you're in your full attention. Because here's the thing. God and the universe put messages right under our noses. And I'd say we miss about 90% of them. Perfect example. One morning a few years back, I was in a pissy mood walking home after my car wouldn't start. That'll put anyone in a pissy mood. And it was a cold and windy day, so that just had me extra. That was just salt in the wound. So I stopped grumbling and talking shit to myself just in time to look up and see a cute little sparrow with a piece of paper in its mouth. I'm assuming to be part of a carefully constructed nest. And that hard wind blew the paper out of the little bird's mouth, only for my little feathery friend to recapture it midair and fly off to make herself or himself a home. When I tell you that immediately my misery turned to gratitude for that, for what I felt was like this private message and this kind of private giggle that I got to have, that even the little sparrows have annoyances but keep moving forward. They don't harp on it. The little sparrow didn't say, F, you know, shit, damn it, yeah, and go on and on and on about the wind blowing the paper out of his mouth. In 2 seconds flat, she turned around, grabbed it back in her little beak, and I don't know, Is that the right word for a sparrow? Is it the beak? I think so. I don't know. For some reason I say beak, I think of a duck. But anyway, she grabbed it and she flew off to go on about her day and keep on pushing forward and doing what she was supposed to do. I'm telling you, my entire energy and day changed from that point. And I looked up and I said, thank you. Because I just felt that that was just a really precious, precious moment. So be present, because these types of moments, they're in front of you. If only you will be present enough to see them. Number four. I like this one. Get comfy with boredom. This is one that I insist on with my 5 and 6 year olds. They were on a really nasty habit with the cell phones, I'd say about 4 months ago. And one day I just had it. I took it away from them, including the tablets. And, you know, it was a little rough go, but it was just a battle of the will. And it was, I'm bored, but I'm bored, but I'm bored. I said, it's okay to be bored. It's okay to be bored. That's sometimes where the best stuff happens. In my book, I talk about how we think a full schedule equals fulfillment. And so we pack every nook and cranny of our and often our kids' lives with activities. Yet, what we mostly have to show for it is exhaustion, right? Loss of money. And still, this gaping hole in our sense of fulfillment that we're chasing after. My best ideas, including a product that I developed and hold a utility patent on, came to me when I'm just staring into thin air or kicking around the house. We think that we get these bragging rights, you know, because we think you can brag when you're a multitasker. It's killing our intuition. It's perfectly okay to have nothing to do. And if it helps, pencil in time for boredom to your schedule. If that's what it takes for you to do it, do it. And then don't go looking for anything to fiddle around with. Actually be bored. Number five, and this is another one of my favorites, and this was key in me starting to self-heal. Get moving. I'm sure you've heard of the mind-body connection and, you know, the 10 plus years of narcissist abuse that I suffered started to come to a turning point when I started weight training. And I was training with a trainer named Rich Carbone at the Bev Francis Powerhouse Gym in Syosset. Many of you probably heard of it. I noticed that as my physical strength increased, every other strength I had began to awaken. When I said before that we kind of don't trust ourselves because of either family or school environments, relationships, and lacking self-awareness, a challenging physical activity that allows you to experience kind of incremental progress is one of the best ways to connect to your intuition, because it awakens you to what you're capable of. I'll never forget the day years ago, I was probably about 21, when I went into the gym and met with Rich, my trainer. And, you know, the first day he just kind of wanted to see where I was at and what I could handle. And he looked at me, and for my kind of soft, voluptuous frame, he said to me, wow, you're stronger than you look. That one sentiment, that one observation that he made was a game changer and impacted me so, it resonated so deeply within me and did so much for me at that time, gave me something that I did not have at that time, that to this day, I remember his exact remarks. He pushed me hard. He pushed me hard as hell. And I will always be grateful to him for that. So if you can progress in an activity, you can progress in any other part of your life, including learning to trust and act on your intuition. Also, taking on a challenging physical activity forces you to develop this heightened awareness of how your body looks and feels, performs, and even aches or discomforts that alert you to the fact that perhaps your form is a little off or you're pushing a little too hard maybe, helps us get more in tune with receiving messages from our bodies and acting on it. Oh, you're working too hard, take it down a notch. Ooh, that feels like a pull. That's not a good way of challenging yourself. This is actually bad. This is going to hurt you. Change your form. Get your form correct. So you have to act on those messages. It's going to get you into that. So now that we are at the end, I would like to leave you with three questions that you can use as journal prompts that will hopefully help you dial into your own intuition a bit more and be a little less shy and fearful or second guessing when it comes to taking action on it. So here is question number one. For question number one, what are you ignoring? And just start with one thing. There may be a whole laundry list of things, but just start with one thing. Maybe start with the easiest thing that you're ignoring. Or if you want to really jump in there, dive right into whatever the hardest thing is that you're ignoring. Something that your gut has been poking and prodding at you about that you've been ignoring. What is that thing? What is that thing? What is that situation? What is your intuition calling you to do about that situation? Name it and list what it is that your intuition is calling you to do about it. That's the first question. The second question, what is your excuse for ignoring it? So in other words, what's the negative self-talk that you're using to excuse whatever, you know, the situation is that you need to change? I gave you a few examples earlier. It's the, I've been at my job for too long to switch paths now, or I'm too old to change careers. No one will find me attractive at this size if I want to get into another relationship. He's the only person that will accept me, or she's the only person that will accept me. What is it that you're saying to yourself? And it may be a couple of different things. In regards to the situation, your I can't because. What's your I can't because? What is your anchor that's dragging down your action, your ability to take action? And the third question is, what distraction are you creating to help you ignore your intuition? Or what reward? How are you rewarding yourself? Sometimes we create distraction and sometimes we reward ourselves with a little bribery. If you've ever said, I'm going to get through this week and then I'm going to go and as a treat to myself for making it through this misery, I'm going to go and get a couple of pairs of new shoes. So are you distracting yourself with TV? Are you distracting yourself with social media? Are you distracting yourself with just social obligation after social obligation of going out and entertaining people? Are you rewarding yourself for staying in whatever situation that you're in? So for example, if you're in a career that sucks your soul dry, if you know in your gut that you're never going to be able to sustain, you know, a lifetime of working and doing this, what is it that you're allowing yourself as a reward for every day or week or month, however you have it set up with yourself, for just continuing to stay the path? Those are your three questions. So make sure that you email me at lisalatimer78@gmail.com with your answers. I'd love to read your answers, share your answers, read your questions if you have any questions and comments. I'm going to start reading those on the podcast here and there as I get them. Let me know, are you in touch with your intuition? What is the craziest experience that you've had with your intuition? And have you gone with it or have you ignored it? Make sure also that you go onto the website, lisalatimer.com, and sign up for the podcast email list. It is a once a month newsletter that is digestible, just a digestible breakdown of what what we had on the podcast for the month. The best of it, easy to comprehend, no fluff, no BS. So drop me your best email. This way we can connect, all right? So that's it. I want you to get out there and start using that divine gift. It is a gift, your intuition. We get this intuition and it's like a superpower. And yet we just ignore it. And, it's just sitting there going to waste. What would be different in your life right now if you followed your intuition more often? That's something to think about. So, Lisa Latimer here. I will see you next week on Personal Growth Lifestyle. Real talk, real results. Be good.